Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, Really Pod listeners. This is Michael Thomas, and on this week's episode, I have no clue what's going on.
That's right. And I'm Sierra, and I'm really excited to be in control of this episode, but I'm mostly excited about the fact that you have no idea what we're going to talk about, Thomas, and I That's just right. have the power.
And I'm Michael Thomas, and I'm scared to death right now of relinquishing this much power.
It's gonna be fine.
I'm sure.
Or it won't. I guess we'll see. Yep. And it'll either work or it won't.
Podcasting career.
Okay. Ye of little faith. You're gonna love this week.
Welcome to Really, the yes. podcast where we have to get comfortable with uncertain things.
Yes. I think Olaf said it best in Frozen. It might have been the second one. Of we're learning to control the things we can and can't as these children are stabbing icicles into his face. Remember that?
He's a sage individual. He gave great advice.
Yeah, he was great.
Wonderful advice. Okay, wonderful. What are we talking about, Sierra? What's your big surprise?
Okay, well, first, instead of asking how your week's been, I have to ask you, because I do have a little baby story with this.
Okay.
And this kind of gives a little hint to what we're talking about. Okay. Have you ever locked your keys in your car?
Yes. Once. Yeah. I do remember doing that once.
Okay. Did it go well?
I don't recall.
Okay.
I think it was at Cracker Barrel when I worked there. Yeah, I've locked them in the car. It must not have gone too bad considering I don't remember much about it.
Not too traumatic.
I do remember that feeling of that sinking feeling.
Yeah.
When that door shuts and you're like, oh, and you feel it all the way down your butthole. Yeah. You know.
Sure. Yeah.
That warm wash of inadequacy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's I remember that. And I remember I don't want to ever feel this again. So I've tried never to let it happen.
Yeah, you learned, right? You learned.
Mm-hmm.
You learned. So Noah this weekend came in this weekend and hung out mm-hmm. with us. And I was at the yoga school all weekend, but I get a text when I get out that says Noah locked his keys in his car. Of course, we don't have our phones the whole time. So this is 6 hours ago when this text came through.
Oh.
And I came home and he was in his car. So obviously it worked out. And I told him, I was like, Noah, I'm really sorry that you locked your keys in your car. However, I'm actually glad it happened because it's like a rite of passage.
It is. It absolutely is.
Yeah. And you learned, right? You learned what to do in these situations without having to be somewhere. You had your dad to be able to take you to Harbor Freight to get whatever little blowy uppy thingy you had to get. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I locked my keys in my car, it was 12 a.m. and I was dog sitting at somewhere and I had Kira in the car. Mm-hmm. And there was snow on the ground, mm-hmm. and I locked my keys and Kira in my car.
Mm-hmm.
I then proceeded to try to finagle, and I busted my entire window out of my Subaru.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kira was a very smart dog, very smart dog, but we can't expect very smart dogs to know how to do everything, folks.
Right. I'm like, push the button, push the button. Mm-hmm. Anyways, yeah. I was like, well, my dog won't be a popsicle in the morning, so this will be okay.
We're talking about things we've messed up on.
Yeah. No, no. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. So, yes, we all can agree that locking your keys in your car is like a rite of passage. Listeners, feel free to share your message or whatever of that. My next question for you is, what was your first car?
My first car was a 1992 Toyota Camry.
Ew.
It was cranberry-ish, purple-ish. The OG bestie and I called it the cranberry cannonball.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Took that under a tractor trailer.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Were
yeah.
you okay? Well, obviously.
I was. I walked away. Jeez. Me and Lila walked away. My dear friend Lila, friend of the pod from Knoxville. We both, we were fine, but it was definitely scurry.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you remember my first car, that Mitsubishi Outlander?
Sure do.
Yeah. It looked like a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like a little dinosaur.
Wait, are we talking about cars?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Stop. Oh, okay. I'm not scared anymore.
Yeah, you love cars.
I do love cars. I, in fact, just purchased one.
Okay. What?
Yeah, I just did last night.
You bought a car last night?
I sure did.
I would say you did research for the episode, but you had no idea.
Didn't. This works.
You know what we say in yoga? That's the universe.
That is the universe. Namaste.
Namaste. Okay. Well, we'll save the climax ending of what you got for the ending. Okay, let's do that. Because also, I need to know.
Okay.
Okay. So, first cars. Well, do you remember that second first car that I got? The 89 Jeep Cherokee Loretto?
Yeah, I sure do, honey. Yeah. I remember when I didn't know what the power window switches were. And you were like, that's my AC. It's like, that's the window switch. Because they were not marked.
No.
It was just four buttons.
Yeah. And then the other, like the one side window was power, but then the other ones were roll. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you never let me ride in it.
I wouldn't.
You want to drive?
Hey, do you want to drive?
And I was like, well, yeah, I always want to drive. But I do remember that. I do remember when you got your Subaru, your Outback, and you were like,
upgrade.
Phew. Yeah. And you were like, oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. It's also too the Jeep. I remember when I bought it and then drove away and going over 45 miles an hour, there's that thing called the Jeep death wobble. That's a thing. Yep. And the whole car just goes,
even when it's new?
No, I don't know. Not the new ones. This is like, because this was 89. This was.
Oh, that's right.
Older Jeeps.
Oh, that was just Jeep though. Yes. Yeah. I remember the first Jeep, the Compass. That was just.
Or the Patriot.
Yes.
The Patriot. Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those. They were the same thing. They were the same thing. It was just one was boxy and one was ugly.
Exactly. Yeah. So first cars, I mean, so many memories, so many joys, so many.
Now, my first vehicle that I bought myself, not the one that mom and dad bought me, was a 2007 Toyota Corolla, brand new. Bought it off the lot in October of 06.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. You drove that one a few times.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was a good, reliable car.
It was a good, reliable car, except that time you were driving it, you were like, why is the steering crooked? And I was like, I think I need to get it aligned.
That's right. I drove us back from something.
Pigeon Forge. We were all. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. We were all just worn out and you were on steroids or something. I don't remember. But you were like, I'll drive. I don't care. I'm fine. course, you were also 18.
I had a lot of energy.
Yeah.
So it was fine. I love driving at night, and now I can't stand it because I can't see.
Same. Welcome to cataracts.
Welcome to nuclear sclerosis.
Yeah.
Okay, so first cars, but what was the first car you learned to drive on, and was it automatic or manual transmission?
It was a manual. It was my sister's 1986 Chevrolet Nova, which was a rebadged Toyota Corolla at the time.
Okay.
You know, Novas used to be like supercars. Okay. I mean, you know, kind of supercar that people would soup them up a lot. This was not that. They turned it into an economy car in the 80s because the 80s were apparently awful. I don't know. Great fashion. But
great hair.
Yeah, great hair. Chevrolet and Toyota worked together, made the Corolla and the Nova. And I would not doubt at all if that thing was still running.
Okay.
You know, those late 80s Toyotas, you cannot kill them. The wheels will fall off. The body will rust. You will have holes in the floorboards before that engine's like, bye.
That's awesome. I mean, you know? Okay.
So I bet it's still running. I don't know if it is or not, but I bet it's still running. But
that's awesome.
But it was a manual, and I'm a little scared if I ever drive another one because I haven't. I mean, I had that. You remember that little green Saturn I had?
Yeah.
I had it, and it was a manual, and I drove it 3 or 4 years. It was old when I bought it, or when mom and dad bought it for me. But it was, I loved that car. It was tiny. Had to fall into it and crawl out of it. My wallet was about 2 inches from the pavement.
You're like a Flintstone, just beepity beepity beep.
For real. But I love that car. It was a great car.
Do you remember when I was or had to learn how to drive, and it was either my dad's giant diesel Excursion or my mom's purple painty cruiser convertible painty cruiser. We called it the purple turd.
A purple turd. I thought it was turtle, but that makes more sense.
Purple turd.
Yeah.
But it was manual. So you're driving.
It had that big old white knob.
And so my mom made me learn to drive manual. And that was, I mean, that was a train wreck, but I'm glad that I did it because I can drive a manual.
Right.
I got a lot of them in over in Europe. So that worked out.
Well, and there's not. A lot of people can't drive those anymore, and they don't make a ton of them anymore.
They don't. And I'm not saying I want one. Daniel's Tacoma is a manual. And
that is.
Okay. I don't know if you know. Well, you know this. I'm short. And so my leg, I have to like push the seat all the way up to the front where the steering wheel is basically in my chest for me to be able to get the clutch all the way
all
down.
The way in,
I hate driving his truck.
Do typically have a long travel on that clutch.
Yeah. It's so, but I've driven it and, but I won't choose to.
Sure.
I won't choose to, but that Excursion, which is, I mean, I guess they're like, are they bigger than an Expedition? I don't know.
Sure, they were like the size of a Super Duty truck.
God, that was awful. And my dad made me get on those back roads and drive the back roads. And he was like, this is how you learn. I'm like, this, like day one of learning to drive. He's like, we're going on a back road in the Excursion. I just really feel like a parking lot probably would have been more.
Fair.
That would have been better. But
yeah,
he was the dad that you're going to learn how to swim. So I'm going to push you. Into the water. Yeah. So, I mean, I can drive it. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, you can drive a school bus too. but I mean, for real though, if you can drive something that big and do fine, anything else is
terror. Sheer terror.
Yeah.
So I think if you can teach your kid how to drive a manual, you might want to.
Yeah, if there's one around.
Yeah, I would say that it gave me such a great understanding of cars and how they work and function, but that's actually not true. I have no idea.
Oh, no, Well, I mean, I love cars. I'm not much on like the mechanical part of it.
Yeah.
I would love to be. I would love to learn that now that I'm elder. You know how sometimes you need a cup of coffee, but your heart rate's like, yeah, please don't. Mm-hmm, that's me. Which is why I'm obsessed with Savorista. They make small batch coffee that's actually craft roasted, full of flavor, but without all that caffeine. I've been drinking their decaf and half calf blends lately. And listen, if you think decaf can't taste good, Savorista is about to change your entire personality. It's bold. It's
want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Smooth. It doesn't taste like sadness. You can drink it at 9 p.m. without regretting all your life choices. Okay, so if you're looking for that, you know, cozy cup that won't have you reorganizing your pantry at 2 a.m., check out Savorista.com. Savorista, Savorista.com. And use the code REALLYPOD at checkout for a little something off your first order. That little something, 25%. Mm-hmm. Your nervous system will thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So I think now I want to move into some hot takes of things that we see in driving around. Everybody sees this. So listeners, you know what I'm going to be talking about. So the first thing that I want to get your hot take on is to lift or not to lift. That is the question. To lift your car or to not lift your car.
We're talking about trucks, right?
Most. Well, yeah, I could put a lift on my 4Runner, but I prefer gas mileage. So
right. Mm-hmm. I would not. I am not here to yuck anyone's yum. I'm not here to kink shame. But I will say, I think the liftedness just looks like we're compensating for something. It's whatever anybody wants. You know, if you're a massive off-roader and you're all the time, then yeah, I would actually probably recommend you get it lifted and get you a good plate on your undercarriage. But otherwise, why are we doing that?
So you say like clearance is like,
well, that's the reason for a lift, yeah. But if you're not doing it for that reason and you're just doing it to look cool, here is a hot take tip for you folks out there. You don't look cool. Mm-mm.
No, and those like big, massive trucks that are so shiny and that. How about when the wheels are smaller, are on the ground, but the truck is lifted so much that there's like this giant gap. Like you could put like a baby whale in it. There's this gap between the tire and the car.
Yeah.
Like that looks weird.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, you got it lifted, but that made you poor. So you couldn't afford to get the fat tires on it because you paid too much for the lift.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So that's
okay.
Yeah. Hot take.
To lift or not to lift? It is your question, listener.
Yep. Don't do it. You're a severe off-roader.
So, yeah, I could see if you're like scaling the Alps with your car.
Yeah, and your Jeep Wrangler with all your ducts glued to your dashboard.
Okay, you know we're going.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to come back to Jeep culture here in just a second. Okay. That's its own category today. Ooh, thank you.
I love that. Thank you.
Okay, to lift or not to lift, but how about the opposite when we're dropping that butt, when we're lowering a car down.
The older I have gotten, the more I realize why I see young people doing that.
Why?
Because now that I've had an SUV too, I get into like mom's little car or anybody's car. Uh-huh. And I love a car, but that drop.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your butt to the seat.
Yeah.
That's a long drop. That's a long drop anymore. And then, you know, I'm a big fella and I feel like my gut is in my chin when I'm riding in a car because the seat sits so much lower and my legs are like at my nostrils. I can't. And again, I don't know why people think it looks cool. Mm-hmm. There is no function for lowering a car that I can logically think of. Now, raising, like I said, off-roading. Lowering, sure, center of gravity, all that jazz. You're not going to take your 1989 Hoopty Mercedes 190E that is, you know, you've got the loud throttle on. You're not going to take it to a track.
Probably not.
No.
Probably not. No. And then what about when they lower them so far that when they park, there's like the, what are those things called? Like the parking spaces that are concrete, whatever that's called. Mm-hmm. And then you hear that like that grind.
And all I think of is all that wasted money. Yeah, you know, that's usually like fiberglass or ABS plastic. And I mean, whatever the ground effects are that they lower, that's not cheap.
Yeah, I wouldn't. You know? The sound is just atrocious.
Oh, it's awful. Hard. Nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, it's hard.
But, you know, protect your investment, folks. If you're going to lower your car or you're going to put ground effects on it that make it look like it's lowered, just don't drive it. Just look at it.
I can't stand it.
Especially in our area.
Yeah.
We're so hilly. We're so mountainous.
We are.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you take one good driveway, that front bumper's gone.
Gone. See ya. Okay. I have never understood what is the purpose of making your exhaust louder?
I don't know. Trauma response. compensation again for other things. I can't safely drive a motorcycle, so I'm going to put one of their exhausts on my car. I don't know, but it absolutely fills me. You know, my least favorite sound in the world is a mouth noise.
Oh yeah. Like chewing, smacking.
Yep. Second least favorite, a loud exhaust. If it comes from a motorcycle, I'm fine. I'm like, okay, that's still annoying, but I can deal. If it comes from a car.
Yeah.
That does not look like somebody can't really afford to fix it. If it comes from a car that I'm like, oh, you did that on purpose.
Yeah.
You spent money on that. Again, I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, but I'm gonna. who hurt you?
Yeah. And you know that when they drive by, that the listener's face is like this stank face with, why'd you do that? What is that?
Yes.
It's not, ooh, that's hot.
The worst place for it around here, you probably remember very well, once I say it, you'll be like, mm-hmm, State Street.
Oh, 100. Yes, because everybody's walking outside and they're like, look at me.
Walking out of rehearsal theater Bristol, 10:30 p.m. at night, and we'd be like, ooh. I hear the train. Mm-mm. No, that's a 1997 Mitsubishi Eclipse with ground effects and a big old double exhaust. And his name's Charlie.
Charles. What about, okay, I have seen cars like a 1970 Chevelle.
Yeah.
That thing just growls.
Mm-hmm.
That's hot.
That's different. That's different. That hits a little different. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Carbureted noises, I think, hits different.
It does. I think that it does. Like make it growl. Purr. Yeah.
Growling. That's one thing. It's that super loud, I might have the dysentery farty noise that the exhausts make that like cut through your soul, sure. that I can't handle.
I agree. Okay, but well, this is a hot take, but it makes, I just had a flashback to the hot take. I dated this guy. I will not give names. It was not long, but I dated this guy who it was such a small car that it didn't have a back seat. It just had, I guess, a trunk, and he, a two-seater. Yeah. Okay. And he tricked it. Well, this is air quote, tricked it out. And it had all these like speakers and subwoofers and all this stuff. So when you got in the car, it was like, bah, bah, bah. And he's like, you like that? No, I actually don't. And it freaked. Yeah, I don't like that. So that leads me into my next hot take of subwoofers and how they rattle the windows, the cars around you, and your cerebellum. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll, I mean, like, nope. That's another thing. What are you? Now, I do. I mean, I love a good bass beat. Don't get me wrong.
Drop a beat.
I love a great, like, system in a car. I think that's wonderful. However, again, those are expensive. When you are jacking that bass up so much that you hear that rattle along with it, you're hurting things. You're hurting your car. You're hurting like seals and gaskets.
Society.
Screws that are made to hold all that stuff in are being like, oh my gosh, let's retreat. We can't. We're screwed. So
literally,
like, I just, nope.
Yeah. If you can hear someone's song or playlist three cars over, it's too loud. And especially
I was getting ready to say, it's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to feel it. If I can hear it, I'll just be like, I'm at the club. If I can feel it, I'm going to be irrationally annoyed.
Yeah. So that relationship didn't last long, obviously, because
I remember that. I didn't like.
Anyways. Okay. So ending with our hot takes kind of makes me want to go, this was a hot take, but I'm just going to make this a whole category. Jeep culture. Now I've spoke that I had a Jeep. I've had two, and I think the class one was real. And that was the 89 Jeep Cherokee Loretto. And I put snow tires on that thing. It could not do donuts because it had so much grip. So much grip. I loved it. It didn't start a lot of times. You had to do this weird thing with all of it to just make it turn on and go. But once it was on, you were good. And luckily,
climb a tree.
It could. Yeah. No, that thing crawled. Yep. And thank goodness that Daniel knows a lot about the car, like mechanics and maintenance, because I would just bring it home and be like, it's doing this now. It's leaking this now. It's smoked on the way home now. And he would get in there and tinker and he'd fix it. And it was great. Otherwise, I would have spent a lot of money on that $1,000 car that I bought back in the day.
You know, sometimes we just got to have a vehicle to get us to point A to point B.
That's right.
And like literally. And figuratively.
Figuratively. Yes. I did get stranded a couple times when I was going to LMU. In Harrogate, Tennessee, 2 hours away.
Oh.
And I was just, you know, after wiggling it around a little bit and the power of prayer, it would turn on. I'm like, phew, all right, I can get home. Thank goodness. But when I had my Jeep, the ducks weren't a thing. I'm just going to call it out. The ducks were not a thing.
Is that more of a Wrangler thing or is that just a Jeep thing in general?
I don't know. I was going to ask you, do you have any idea why? Ducks are dashing.
I see it more on Wranglers. And people will just like random. And I love the. Okay. So let me just say before
I
read these people, I love the sense of community that these people have. You know, this is a petty grievance. This is a petty gripe. I don't think poorly of you as a human unless I know you. But. It is, I don't know. They leave little ducks for each other. And then If it's like one or two, I think that's kind of cute. When you see a dashboard that has 20 plus ducks lined up across it, I'm just like, what are we trying to do here?
Yeah.
What are we trying to prove? Because all I think is, you dusting those?
Oh, yeah. It's going to get a dusty duck.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have a dusty duck, and you are going to... That was funny. It hit me.
Those ducks.
Yeah, you have a dusty duck. You're going to have to take you some keyboard cleaner.
Canned air.
Canned air. You're going to have to get you...
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Swiffer 360 duster out to get in all those crevasses. So I don't get that. It's not for me to get. I don't have to get it.
Right.
You know, your ducks are valid, folks.
Your ducks are valid.
You're valid. So that might be a new catchphrase for this whole podcast. Your ducks are valid.
Your ducks are valid.
Yes.
Dusty ducks.
Your dusty ducks are valid. I'm going to try to work that into every episode from here on out.
Okay, thank God. Okay, so I looked it up because I didn't know. And okay. It is per the Goog, like a mm-hmm. quick Goog.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trend, right? It's a viral trend, which we can see that literally.
Obviously.
And it's meant to spread joy and connect with others. So you were right on. It's a symbol of community, a little fun duck surprise.
Wow. I mean, I do love that. But like anything, we can take it a little too far.
We can take it a little too far. So it's cute. All right. We'll keep it. Okay. But it leads me into, I cannot stand anything on my dash because it will reflect into the mirror, right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I was driving home the other day, and there was this, it's a neighbor, I'm not saying who. Well, they're not really here that much. So they had papers, a toboggan, so a hat,
mm-hmm.
A to-go container, the white, you know, is that styrofoam to-go container? So maybe it was like their lo mein or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And a chihuahua. In the dash.
A real one?
A real chihuahua, like a dog in their dash. Just like
the car was moving?
She was driving. This person was driving.
I have multiple concerns.
That's too much in your dash.
I could get past everything you just said until you brought up the chihuahua. Number one. I liken you, if we hearken back to episode 4, to a chihuahua. So I love chihuahuas. Mm-hmm. I'm being earnest. I love chihuahuas. So therefore, I love you. Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to put that dog on my prayer list.
Yeah. So forget the chihuahua. How about now to just having stuff in your dash? I can't stand it.
I don't know that I can forget that.
Yeah.
I'll try.
Like mail. People put mail there. I can't do that.
I will if it's reflective. I'm going from my mailbox, pulling into the drive. You know, I pick up my mail on the way in, back into the drive.
Yeah.
And get it. But I don't like to leave stuff on my dash.
Yeah.
Because I just see that as a projectile.
Yeah.
I mean, I used like... this super high adhesive Lexail stuff to put my pop socket holder on my dashboard on my old car. I do not want nothing coming off. I mean, I did love my pop socket holder, but yeah. So yesterday when I traded, the dealer was like, you forgot your pop socket holder, and I couldn't get it off. And I was like, you never will.
Leave it for the next one.
You're going to need a heat gun. It's now a feature, sir.
It's now a feature, and you can upsell it for that. You're welcome.
Right.
You're welcome. Yeah. So things in the dash I can't stand. Okay. One other question. If you've got you just went to the grocery store. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you've got your groceries, not in the way back, not in your trunk, but mm-hmm. you've got it in your back seat mm-hmm. and you hear the plastic bag rattling.
Mm-hmm.
Will you pull over and fix that? Or, well, because your windows are down. Like, but let's say you got to have your windows down because you're trying to feel that vibe, that window down vibe.
Mm-hmm. Living carefree.
Yeah, the bag rattling. I can't. Or there's like something that's like, tick, 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 tick. Like when you drive, I know there are people out there. I don't know who they are, but there are people out there that can just tune that out. I can't. If I hear the slightest little...
The thing that gets me, and I do this, and I really have to work on my self-love when I allow myself to do this. I will forget that I have a water bottle. It's kind of full. Not full, but like maybe it's got like 4 ounces left in it. But it's just enough to shift and roll around in that back floorboard.
You got a roller.
I literally... will, unless I'm like on the interstate, once I get off the exit and find a place to park, I will get out, get that water bottle that is rolling and put it, you know, in the seat or something so that it won't do that. But I have a hard time with those little noises. The bags don't bother me as much, but like when I get my big bottles of distilled water from a CPAP, one of them will, you know, my gallon of distilled water, one of them will fall over. And then every time I take a curb, it's like, you know, like in the back and like hitting like a ping pong, like a real bad ping pong ball hitting every part of the back. And I'm like, well, my car's going to be drenched.
Yeah.
It never is, though.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
You good and gather brand distilled water.
Good and gather. So with all of these wonderful hot takes, thank you for going through all those. These, I know that listeners can totally relate with all of these things, probably.
Here,
what?
I just want to say thank you for asking.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm like, what? There's something on my face. You're so welcome. But I do want to acknowledge that you have, over the years, there have been a lot, you have aided and supported not only your family, but also your friends through buying a car and going to the dealership.
Sure.
Right? And so it sounds like you just went ahead and did that also last night, too. So we'll get to that for yourself. So buying a car, going to the dealership, you have had this experience. You've even helped me through various ones, and we would go and ride around in cars. You remember when we were real excited about the Subaru Ascent and then we didn't get it, but we were going to?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yes, I do. Yeah. I did not remember that until you just mentioned that we literally both.
Yes. We thought that was the one
that we were like, oh my gosh, Subaru finally made an SUV. This is it. And we both test drove and we were like, so what'd you think of that?
Yeah, it's fine. And then I got a 4Runner, so
you love it. And you were like, no, did you?
No.
And I was like, no.
We hopped that thing up though.
Neither one of it did not hit like we thought it would.
No.
And I don't remember. I saw the video for the 2019 Santa Fe and I was like, that car's weird looking. I like it. And I drove it and I was like, oh, I'm gonna get that.
Yeah.
And I drove that for six and a half years.
You Santa Fe'd and I foreranned it.
Yeah.
So going to the dealership is so awkward, right? Like it is, oh, it's just creepy. And then there's like people that are really pushy. And sometimes you get, I remember we had a wonderful, and we've used the same person at the Ryan Ace or Toyota for several of our transactions. And he was great. But there are some where you walk up in there and you're like, wow, why are you, it is 11:30 in the morning. Why are you that red and sweaty and have that much gel in your hair? And you look like Guy Fieri, and I just feel so uncomfortable. Like, and they're aggressive.
Some of them really, really, like, you can tell they really take it serious. And yeah. I appreciate that. However, some of them really, they do. They slick that hair back.
Uh-huh.
I remember this one. I do remember names, but I'm not going to say. Listen, when I was a child, mom and dad mostly bought their vehicles from one place because it was in town in Lebanon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And
the one salesman there that I remember, he had the most egregious toupee. It literally just like floated on top of his head.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, as a child, I thought he was old then. Went by a car dealership not too long ago because Monet's looking for vehicles. And he's still around.
He's there?
He's got to be 110. And so does that
toupee?
Is that toupee? Oh. Yeah. We're going to embrace. Now, I say that with a receding hairline, and I would fully buy a system right now. But,
oh my God.
So see, folks, it's all tongue and cheek. It's all petty. But I, yeah, no. I just remember, and he was an odd little bird. He had, as my mama would say, he had a weird turn.
A weird turn.
Yeah,
okay.
he was weird, and she was not incorrect. So yeah, there's definitely, now I will say, shout out Justin Rigsby at Friendship Hyundai in Bristol.
Okay.
Dude is great. He's very quiet. He's not pushy at all. My mother loves him.
Okay. This sounds personal.
I know. And I was like, I only want to work with him. Like when I sent my little email to the dealership and, he helped me out. He did me right. So anybody in the Tri-Cities area, or if you're listening from like, I don't know, Guadalajara, come on up. Get you a car from Justin Rigsby at Friendship Hyundai in Bristol.
In Bristol.
Tennessee.
Okay.
620. All right, folks. I know it's been a minute since I've done one of these. I used to do these videos all the time. And I'm back doing another one. It's a consumer report. Now, I know we have all had those days where our stomach's like, hey, you remember them tacos you ate? Yeah, we're going to talk about that all day. Well, okay. So lately, I've been using Professor B's digestive aids. Because, you know, sometimes your gut needs a little extra tutoring. They use pure honey and these other all natural bee derived and herbal ingredients that are rooted in what's called apitherapy to help promote a healthier gut. Naturally, it's science meets sweetness, natural sweetness. And honestly, y'all, it works. There's no weird side effects. It's not any kind of weird mystery potion, just natural ingredients doing their job. Plus, Professor B's gave us an exclusive 10% off. Mm-hmm. Just head to profbees.com. That's profbees.com. And use code REALLYPOD at checkout. Again, that's profbees.com. Promo code REALLYPOD for 10% off any product. Because our digestive systems deserve an A-plus day, too.
So, since you've helped so many people kind of get their cars, and I've known you to be a haggling son of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share maybe some 3 to 5 key things that the listeners, we need to know before showing up there? Or like, you can't just take the first deal that they say, like, it's going to be this.
Mm-mm.
Do you have any words of wisdom you'd like to pass on to the class?
My big tip is research your vehicles, number one, before you buy them. Which vehicles are one of the number one impulse purchases.
Okay.
Which makes sense. Another tip, if you can get away with it when you trade, if you owe on your trade, do not go into a deal upside down. I don't care how much that you hate that car you are trading. Try your best not to go into it upside down. Now, I get it. A lot of people have to because they need to.
What do you mean upside down?
On your loan, on the value of the vehicle. Like if you owe $15,000 and they're going to give you $13,000 for the car on a trade.
Don't go in the negative.
Don't go. Try not to go in the negative.
That makes sense.
As little as possible. If you can keep the negative to triple digits, you might take care of it in your first couple of payments, technically.
Okay.
But try not to. Do your research. Try not to go upside down if you can, because that's very impulsive. Get the nicest thing that you can afford because you will like it longer.
Yeah.
I will say that. Get as many options as you possibly can that you want, that you can afford. Do not go out there and get a vehicle that you can't afford. You know, it's kind of like when you, I remember this person I was affiliated with at one time bought this lovely Gucci wallet.
Gucci.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's great. You don't have anything left to put in it. you know,
car so, poor.
Yeah, don't make yourself car poor.
Yeah.
That would be that would be the thing. Because I've done it. I say this from experience. Don't make yourself car poor. Just like when you buy a house, don't make yourself house poor.
And you're just in it.
Yeah.
Eating ramen.
Yes. Stay within your means. And again, I say this from experience. I say this from like, I don't want you to experience that. But if you need to learn a lesson and you do it, you're going to learn it. So let's see. What was that? Four tips. I will say building a relationship with a salesperson, if you can, is very good. They will try to, typically they will try to sell you that car while you're there because they know if they let you leave, it's highly unlikely you're going to come back.
Yeah.
Set expectations very, very early on. And when they try to sway you from that, stick to your guns. Car buying is emotional. So stick to your guns and be like, no, I said I wouldn't buy nothing today. I just wanted to drive some things because I'm doing my research.
Okay.
And any good salesman will follow up with you later on that and not pressure you.
The pressure.
Yeah. It's y'all, it's tired. If any car salesman listen to this, it's tired. Nobody wants to be pressured. Nobody wants you to try to gaslight them into getting a car.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. It's tired. Tired boots. Don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, I've met some good ones too. Like, I remember when I was like, I want a Sienna. I wanted a minivan.
Yeah. And I was fully supportive of that because I love a minivan.
And then I saw the Sequoia and I was like, no, I want this. And the car dealer was like, I just don't know if I see you in this. I'm like, you don't know me, Todd. I don't know his name, but he was right. I didn't need a Sequoia.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford a Sequoia.
Yeah.
So I got a 4Runner, which still was, she's paid off now. Now.
Woo!
Ooh, that's a good feeling. Okay. Thomas, thank you for all those tips. But here, I've been on the edge of my bar stool seat.
Okay.
Tell me.
Uh-huh.
What did you do last night?
Well, I bought a car.
What kind? From somebody Riggs, I guess. Justin.
Rigsby. Justin Rigsby. Pundi, Bruce Jesse.
Okay. Justin.
Justin. I got another Santa Fe.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
One of those boxy ones. It is a, it's like a army.
Hold on, send me a picture.
Okay.
You said it was army green.
Mm-hmm. It's army green, and it has brown seats, brown interior.
Oh my! Wait a no.
Yeah.
This is the one that's outside of my school. That yeah. I'm like, this looks like a fancy Rover.
Yeah, you said it to me that time, and I was like, I really love that color. And they don't have a lot of that color around here.
That's awesome.
So when they did, and I saw that online, I was like, well, that's just the universe trying to tell me you need to buy a car.
Wow.
Thanks, girl. But no, I do love it. It's
very cool. Yeah. Okay. I'm so excited to see it.
No, I'm excited to
show. You can drive.
And it's a hybrid. That was my main thing, where I drive more for work now. I want something that got a little better on gas. And
it's an investment.
Around 30 to 35 miles an gallon. So, I'm excited about it.
Nicely done. I can't wait to see it. That's so exciting.
Thanks.
Oh, man. We have covered a lot of ground, and that makes sense because we're talking about cars.
Yes.
And how they move.
Yes.
Okay, my final question, because you had a Subaru.
Yes.
And listeners know that if you don't, Subarus, a lot of them, I don't know if they still do, but I know my 09 did, a lot of them will tell you gas gauge wise when you're about to be empty, right? Mm-hmm. And it'll say like 120 miles till empty, mm-hmm. 80, 50. Mm-hmm. Then there's two dash lines.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever ride that dash line till the last drop?
Rode that dash line. Oh, you ever seen Seabiscuit?
The movie about the horse?
Mm-hmm.
No.
You know that jockey rides that horse all the way around that track multiple times till it won and then it finally died.
Where are you going?
That's how I am with them dash lines.
Okay.
If they ever come on, I'm like, I'm good. I can I rode those dash lines in my Subaru especially. Oh man. When the dash lines came up, I knew I was like, well, I can get to work 2 days.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Now
they never came on my Santa Fe. I was
nicely done.
Possible, although it did say 1 mile to empty once.
Wow.
That was pushing it for me. I got a little anxious.
Wow. Forget the dashes. They just was keeping you informed.
Yeah, they were. It was very, it was real Pacific.
Real Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
Real Pacific. Well, thank you for your honesty and openness. I too rode those dash lines like it was no tomorrow. And one time we had to ride those dash lines in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And because the gas, the power had gone out and we just had to keep going and the worst case scenario is we had bicycles and we would bicycle to wherever there might have been one. So, yeah, that's the day that I stopped riding the dash line.
Yeah.
Was because somehow we made it into Wyoming coming from maybe I don't remember where we were, but we didn't talk. I didn't talk to Daniel for a long time because we were on the edge of our seats, just hoping, praying that we were going to get to a gas station.
Don't speak. It might burn more gas.
Yeah. And then he tried to be like, hey, pull over. Let's take some pictures. Not the time, Dan.
Not the time, sir.
Takes more gas to turn it on.
Listen, I did ride the dash lines one time to where I was very glad the gas station in my view was down a hill.
Oh, yeah. Coasting.
By the time I pulled in, I was like, power steering's going.
Yeah. Puttering.
Yeah. So it just takes one good scare.
Yeah.
For you
good
to
scare.
Hopefully. I know a lot of people that have ran out of gas multiple times.
Daniel's done it a couple times. This is a long time ago though.
Yeah.
His old truck. But
I will say my dad, when that car got to like 3/4 of a tank, he'd be like, you're getting a little low.
Yeah.
Getting a little low. You need to fill up with gas.
He was smart.
And until I got older, I didn't appreciate that fully.
Mm-hmm.
If he was still with us, I would say, thank you.
Dad, you were right.
You were right.
Matt, on that one.
And I'm not talking about a quarter tank. Mm-mm. 3/4 of a tank.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. He would be like, you're getting a little low. But this is the same man that would also, when the time changed on, you know, Sunday morning would change the clocks back, starts changing the clocks back on Friday evening.
Huh. Very prepared.
Yeah, very, very prepared.
Sounds confusing.
Confusing. Well, helpful. I don't know. He never seemed to struggle that week after.
Yeah, well, he was preparing.
He gave him a little cushion.
Like we do. Oh, man. I have thoroughly enjoyed, one, talking about cars, two, being in control.
I have actually thoroughly enjoyed it, too. I might let you write more episodes.
There you go. Just roll your windows down, turn your music up, and throw your hands up in the air like you just don't care.
Yes. And up it to some, like, old 90s.
Yes.
Early 2000s, like, club music.
Yeah. You want it? Let's do it.
Write it.
We won't continue.
No. We will not.
I don't know why. That's that. Whoa, got weird.
I don't know why that went in your head, but you know, that's all right. That's all right. Again, no judgment.
No judgment. All right, moving on from Pony. Thomas, where are you really going to spend some money this week?
Well, I already did.
You did.
But no, really, I will say in all earnestness, if you do need a new vehicle, Justin Rigsby is wonderful. I would absolutely shout him out. Look him up online on friendshiphyundai.com. He is a great salesperson. I do not love car salespeople in general, so I would not shout them out if I did not believe in them. He is kind. He's not pushy. He's very chill. So yeah, I'm gonna do that one for this week, since I didn't really know what we were talking about, but it ended up working.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, you
spend June's money, Sierra.
Well, I'm going to spend my money. And honestly, I have shouted out this one before, but it was on our first episode. And I just think it needs another shout out, especially as we move into the holiday season and wrapping up with the new year and stuff. I'm going to shout out Wild Lotus Yoga Collective.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And just to highlight on, I'm almost done with yoga school.
Girl, I know you will be so happy.
Yeah. Like, but also crying at the same time. Like, it has been very consuming.
Sure.
You know, layouts bound. But yeah. I'm going to just bawl my eyes out. I'm nervous about my final practicum. I have to lead a whole hour of the yoga. But the Wild Lotus Collective, you can find them at Wild Lotus Collective on the Instagram. And also, they have an online, they have, you know, website, that's what that's called. And they're offering next year, they're also offering another yoga school if you feel so compelled and want to do that. And then they also have amazing yoga classes. They have sauna, cold plunge experiences, and then also some like sound baths. And then two.
Hey, I've heard of that.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. My friend Kendall, who's actually kind of from where we're from, she bathes us in the sound. She's fantastic. Yeah. So Wild Lotus Collective in Flat Rock, North Carolina. There's also retreats and stuff that Tish does. So it's incredible.
Well, I know you are, I know you're in charge, but yeah. I want to talk about some upcoming things we got.
Oh, take it away.
So it is the holidays, folks. Do remember, reallypodshop at myshopify.com. Get you some holiday gifts. Get you some ornaments for your tree. It's people are putting up their trees right now. So get you some stuff. Another thing coming soon, hopefully, roughly around the first of the year, we are going to start a YouTube channel. So you'll get to see our beautiful, beautiful faces.
Yeah.
Making all these different faces when we talk about stuff. So that is coming. It's coming soon. Stick with us. Hit like on our episodes. Share our episodes with your people. Follow us on Facebook at Really with Sierra and Michael Thomas. Follow us on Instagram at Really_thepod. We appreciate you all more than you'll ever know. So yeah, that's I just wanted to shout that out. There's also a bunch of really cool stuff going on the month of December at the Russell Theater in Lebanon, Virginia. So get on therusselltheater.com.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you all so much. And Thomas, thanks for letting me take control. I relinquish that at this time.
Yes. Oh, well, you don't have to.
Oh, well, we'll see. Okay. Thank you all so much. Yeah, bye.
Name.
Me. Really with Sierra and Michael Thomas is produced by Griff Chap Studio, LLC. The views and opinions expressed by host Sierra and Michael Thomas are their own and do not reflect those of their employers. Copyright 2025, Griff Chap Studio, LLC, all rights reserved.